Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
In this bulletin, Victorian Premier told to live up to her words at truth-telling inquiry. A $230 million domestic violence prevention and support package for New South Wales. And Israel orders Al Jazeera to close its local operation. Victorian Premier Jacinta Allan last week became the first head of government to appear before an Indigenous truth-telling inquiry in Australia. The Premier spoke at the Yurok Justice Commission, which is investigating injustices related to lands, skies and waters. Jacinta Allan was ashamed at how little she knew of the massacres of First Nations people on Jajawarong country in central Victoria.
I want to acknowledge there is an unbroken line between the dispossession and violence of the past and the lives of First Peoples today.
The Commission urged her to act on her words.
We must move beyond words. We do not want to be talking about failure of this Commission in 30 years' time.
The French Embassy in Canberra has held a welcome to country ceremony for the first time. The Ambassador of France to Australia, Mr. Pierre-André Imbert, said that France is dedicated to continue reinforcing its relationships with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people through shared history and memory.
Based on all this history, we want to have more cultural exchanges. And that's why we have the new French-Australian Foundation for Cultural Exchanges.
The historic welcome was performed by Ngambri Ngunnawal artist Paul Kirawa House and included a smoking ceremony outside the embassy. Traditional tree carvings that would be housed inside the embassy were also unveiled. As part of the cultural exchange, Mr. House will travel to Paris later this year to install similar sculptures in the Quai Branly Museum.
Cultural exchange is very important, and to be able to share our story and connection to the country with the people of France and gift our culture and heritage and, you know, reciprocate.
Bay law reform, homelessness prevention programs and greater support for victim survivors are key initiatives in a new South Wales $230 million domestic violence prevention and support package. Domestic violence is preventable and there needs to be a greater focus on disrupting the cycle of abuse early, says Premier Chris Minns as he unveiled details of the four-year funding plan today.
So today the government's announcing a $230 million package for domestic, family and sexual violence in our community. But I need to say that this is not a day of joy or boasting from the New South Wales government. This package is being demanded by the victims and survivors of domestic, family and sexual violence in New South Wales. It's a recognition that the state needs to do more and that something needs to change. I'm truly sorry that these reforms are being announced today and not earlier than today. And the bottom line here is that all governments need to do better.
The emergency package was promised after New South Wales Cabinet met last week to hear from experts in the field. More than $73 million will go towards reforming the New South Wales justice system to help victims, including $45 million set aside to improve bail laws and other systemic responses to be detailed in coming weeks. Australians studying teaching, nursing, midwifery or social work could be paid nearly $320 per week during their work placements in a federal government effort to alleviate cost of living pressures. As part of their degrees, teaching students are required to undertake about 600 hours of placement, while aspiring nurses have to do about 800 hours, forcing many to give up part-time jobs for unpaid labour. But from July 2025, about 68,000 university students and 5,000 vocational education and training students will be eligible for $319 payment each week, in addition to income support they may already receive as part of the federal government's budget in mid-May. Education Minister Jason Clare says the paid placements are aimed at easing workforce shortages in the care and education sectors, and the government could expand these to other industries later down the line. And more than 3 million Australians will have an average of $1,200 of their student debt wiped under a federal plan to reform the way loans are indexed. Education Minister Jason Clare has announced the government would cap the Higher Education Loan Program indexation rate, eliminating about $3 billion of student debt. The capped rate, which will form part of this month's federal budget, will ensure indexation matched whichever of the consumer price index or wage price index is lower. And the Minister for Education also says he doesn't want to see violence spread on Australian university campuses, warning pro-Palestinian and pro-Israel protesters to lower the temperature. Protesters condemning Israel's seven-month assault on Gaza have been camping at universities across Australia, most prominently at the University of Sydney and University of Melbourne, where they have been met with counter-protests. Education Minister Jason Clare says nothing is more important than the safety of students.
That's why I stress the point, Matt. We've just got to lower the temperature here. There's always a right to protest in a democratic nation like Australia, but there's no place for fear and intimidation and hate or anti-Semitism or Islamophobia, and there is a role to play for all of us here. The politicians, the media, religious leaders, community leaders here, to work together here to keep our country together, not let it get torn apart.
His comments follow chaotic scenes at universities in the United States, where police have been called in to forcibly dismantle pro-Palestinian encampments and arrest scores of students. Israeli police have raided a Jerusalem hotel room used by Al Jazeera as its de facto office following a government decision to shut down the Qatari-owned TV station's local operations. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced the network would be shut down for as long as the war in Gaza continues on the grounds it threatens national security. It allows Mr. Netanyahu to shut the network's office in Israel for 45 days, but that period can be renewed.
After a discussion at the security cabinet and following my directive, the government will discuss the closing of Al Jazeera broadcasts in Israel. Al Jazeera reporters harmed Israel security and incited against IDF soldiers. It is time to remove the Hamas mouthpiece from our country.
The order, which includes confiscating broadcast equipment, preventing the broadcast of the channel's reports and blocking its websites, is believed to be the first time Israel has ever closed a foreign news outlet operating in the country. Al Jazeera has labeled the move a criminal action and has rejected an accusation the network threatened Israeli security, describing the accusation as a dangerous and ridiculous lie which puts its journalists at risk. In the meantime, negotiations in Cairo to reach a deal to bring an end to the nearly seven-month-long war in Gaza are ongoing. Egyptian and U.S. mediators have reported recent signs of compromise, but Israel's prime minister has cast doubt on its accepting an end to the war without reaching its stated goal of eradicating Hamas. And back home, Qantas has admitted it misled thousands of customers over flight cancellations for years and will now pay $120 million in fines and compensation. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission had sued the airline in the federal court after alleging Qantas engaged in false, misleading or deceptive conduct by continuing to sell the tickets. The competition watchdog says the parties had agreed to ask the court to impose a $100 million penalty after Qantas admitted the conduct went on for a year longer than the ACCC alleged. Payments to 86,497 customers who, between May 2021 and August 2023, were sold tickets Qantas had already decided to cancel, will share in about $20 million in compensation. Qantas will pay $225 to domestic customers and $450 to international customers. And now to sport. The Australian Olympic Committee says it is committing to more investment in First Nations athletes ahead of the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. President of the Australian Olympic Committee, Ian Chesterman, made the announcement following an annual general meeting. Mr. Chesterman says they are incredibly excited about the future of the Games.
We're really delighted to announce today that a grant we made to every Indigenous athlete in the team for Paris who meets the criteria set down by our own Indigenous Advisory Committee. That's a $5,000 grant, and we're hoping that at least 10 athletes will take advantage of that, and hopefully a whole lot more if they get to be on the team in Paris.
And now having a look at the weather around the country, Broome, sunny 34, Perth, mostly sunny 21, Adelaide, similar conditions 22, Melbourne, cloud clearing 20, Hobart, partly cloudy 17, Albury, Wodonga, sunny 21, Canberra, partly cloudy 17, Wollongong, showers 20, Sydney, much the same 22, Newcastle, rain easing 23, Brisbane, mostly sunny 25, Townsville, similar forecast 29, Cairns, possible shower 29, Alice Springs, partly cloudy 22, Darwin mostly sunny 33, and the Torres Strait Islands partly cloudy day ahead and a top of 31 degrees. And that is NITV Radio News.